This morning we're reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 10, Chapter 73, entitled Lord Krishna Blesses the Liberated Kings. What is the text? 14. Ato narajam rigatrishne rupitam dehena shashvat patatarujam bhava Upasitavyam sprihayam mahevibhu priyapalam pretya chakarna rochanam. Never again will we hanker for a mirage-like kingdom, a kingdom that must be lavishly served by this mortal body, which is simply a source of disease and suffering, and which is declining at every moment. Nor, O Almighty Lord, will we hanker to enjoy the heavenly fruits of pious work in the next life, since the promise of such rewards is simply an empty enticement for the ears. Srila Prabhupada's purport. One must work very hard to maintain a kingdom or political sovereignty. And yet the body, which works so hard to maintain one's political power, is itself doomed. At every moment the mortal body moves towards death, and all along the way the body is subjected to many painful diseases. The whole affair of mundane power is thus a waste of time for the pure soul who needs to revive his dormant Krishna consciousness. The Vedic scriptures and other religious scriptures contain many promises of prosperity and heavenly enjoyment in the next life for one who acts piously in this life. Such promises are pleasing to the ears, but they're nothing more than that. Material enjoyment, whether in heaven or hell, is a type of illusion for the pure soul. By the personal association of Lord Krishna, the fortunate kings have now realized the higher spiritual reality beyond the phantasmagoria of the material creation. Very beautiful verse and very instructive purport. In this verse of this Grantharaj, Srimad Bhagavatam, the king of all scriptures, these liberated kings, they were liberated by the mercy of Krishna from the grips of Jarasandha. Not just liberated from the tyrant, like being liberated from the prison, but by the association of Lord Krishna, they were liberated from the material world. And what type of liberation? Just some mukti? No. They were liberated. The real concept of liberation is devotional service to the Lord. That type of liberation, one never comes back to the material way of life. Punar janma na vidyate, Krishna says. Having once returned to my abode, one never takes birth again. So these liberated kings are sharing with us their realizations that material enjoyment, whether it be in whether it be in heaven or hell, is all an illusion. Just like if you're climbing a mountain, and you know when you climb mountains, there's a line of mountaineers, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. And they all have a rope which is connected to each other. In case one falls, the others hold on and save him. And you're always watching the steps of the one before you. By observing the person who's just ahead of you, you know what to do and what not to do. If he makes a mistake, then you know, oh, I will not do that same thing. But if he's safely step by step ascending the mountain, all you have to do is follow in his footsteps. So that holds true in Krishna consciousness as well. We can always find someone more advanced than us in Krishna consciousness. In fact, a true devotee considers himself the servant of the servant of the servant of the servant many times removed. Not that he feels humiliated by being such in the position. He actually feels very fortunate. I have the example of so many Vaishnavas ahead of me, so I'm assured of success. So here are these kings And generally a king is a very, well, you could say it's a dangerous position. Like, kings are generally in the mode of passion. They have to divide and conquer and rule over and punish. And they're associated with many queens, and they have a lot of prestige, a lot of honor, a lot of money. Very danger. Mahaprabhu, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he refused to associate with the kingly order. Even Maharaj Pataparudra. He was a great devotee. But to teach us a lesson, saintly persons should not intimately associate with those who are under the influence of the modes of nature. Only when Maharaj Pataparudra showed his real heart, the heart of a Vaishnava, by taking the broom and becoming a street sweeper for Lord Jagannath, did he endear himself to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, who later embraced him in the Jagannath Gardens. But these materialistic kings, by the mercy of the Lord, they were also delivered. Everyone, according to Krishna, is a candidate for pure devotional service. No one is barred from becoming a devotee. Even if you're the most fallen person, if you take up the powerful process of chanting, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, can be delivered. And to prove this fact, Lord Nityananda preached to Jagai and Madhai. What is the glory of that pastime? That by the mercy of the holy names they were delivered. So now these kings are delivered, and they're so kind. They're sharing with us their realizations. They're like our big brothers. You have a big brother? I was the big brother in my family. But it would be nice to have a big one. Now I have lots of big brothers. Shivaram Swami, Bhakti Binga Govinda Maharaj, Devamrita Maharaj, Jai Pataka Maharaj. I have so many big brothers. Because the big brother can help the little brother advance. So these kings are like our big brothers. And they're saying, just wait, listen to what I have to say. What is it, sir? All this material enjoyment, phantasmagoria, like horse egg. Shukadev Goswami uses the word in the first canto. It's like horse egg. What? There's no such thing as a horse egg. Yes, sir. So there's no such thing as material enjoyment. Aha, I see. So this is their conclusion. Having enjoyed that world and tasted the nectar of Krishna consciousness, they're convinced. Like you go shopping and you want to buy mango. So you look, and this man's green, it's sort of hard. This mango's yellow. It smells like nectar. There's just a few black spots. You make the comparison. I will buy this one. No, I don't want that one. I want this one. So one who has suffered in material existence and been delivered by the mercy of Guru and Gauranga and is tasting the nectar of Krishna consciousness, there's no way he's going to go back. Vantashi. Vantashi means one who renounces material life, takes up spiritual life, but due to some weakness, he goes back to material life. Vantashi literally means one who vomits and then again eats that substance. But not if you're fixed. O my Lord, your holy name alone can render all benediction upon the living entities. Thus you have hundreds and millions of names like Krishna, Govinda, etc. You've invested all your transcendental opulences and the sound of your holy name. Unfortunately, I have little attraction. So we should hear from such liberated souls, and their instruction should go deep within our hearts. We should accept it as factual. But we have to hear it many times. This is ABCs of spiritual life, isn't it? A, B, C, D, E, F, G, H, I, J, K, L, M, N, O, P. I always forgot the second half. Q, R, Z. So this is the ABCs. Where are we? We're in 10th canto. This is the cream of Bhagavatam. Like you have milk. Milk is very nice. But what's the best part of milk? The cream. So the Vedic literatures are very nice. What's the cream? Gantara Shrimad Bhagavatam. And 10th canto is the smiling face of the Lord. It's the, we hear all the leelas of Krishna. We prepared ourselves by going through 9 cantos, all the basic stuff. Then we get to 10th canto and we make no mistake of Krishna's transcendental position. So we relish his leelas in Sri Vrindavan Dham. But the reminder is here, very basic. In 10th canto, you can't enjoy material life. Wow. Just to make sure, because the race is not over till it's over. There's many a slip twixt the cup and the lip. You know, and when you drink tea, in Britain they're still drinking the tea. Chai, you take the teacup. But there's many a slip twixt the cup and the lip. Between here and here, so many things can happen, such as life. So, just to make sure that even in the advanced stage of Krishna consciousness, the advanced stages of Krishna consciousness, there's no slip. You don't look back and think, ah, wait a minute, look what I left behind. We often give that analogy or example. When Srila Prabhupada gave one of our foremost sannyasis his danda in Mayapur, I heard him say, never look back and think you've left anything behind, and never envy the position of the materialistic sense enjoyers. Oh, such a nice instruction. For all devotees, because we all have to renounce this world one day, either we have to do it voluntarily or we're forced to by death. So voluntary surrender is considered better by Krishna than forced surrender. If you voluntarily surrender, you get some privileges. If you're forced to surrender, you may be put in the, you may become a POW, a prisoner of war. But if you surrender willingly, so then there, you have some privileges. You wave a white flag, I surrender. Okay, come on. So we have to hear, even in 10th canto, just to make sure. Just like when you're making a clay pot, you take the water, you take the earth, and you mix it. And then before you make your plate or your cup or your bowl, knead it. I don't know how you even spell that. N-E-A-D? You knead it. What are you doing? You're getting all the air out. You're getting all the bubbles out. Because if you make your little cup and you put it into the kiln to fire it, if there's any air bubbles there, the cup explodes. Or you get a cracked, you know, it's imperfect. So before it goes into the fire, you have to get all the little pockets of air out, then you shape your cup, then you put it in. So also we have these desires in our heart. Lust, anger, greed, we're working on it, but we have to get even the tiniest out, or it can be dangerous for our Krishna consciousness. We saw that Bharat Maharaj, he was on the level of bhav, just before prema. Anarti Nivritti, all the material desires removed. He was at prema, abhava, and he had slipped. He slipped up. Oh, what a beautiful little deer. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. Krishna, Hare deer. He fell in love because something, everything young is cute. Even little snake is cute. My son, Gorshakti, he has his own family now, and he has one little boy, Jai, who, you know, ranted and raved that he wanted a python for a pet. So my son was like flabbergasted. You want a python? But daddy, I just want a little python, baby python. And they actually went to the store, the pet shop, and they found a little python just like this big. He almost had a smile on his face. And now 6 years later, we got a problem. So the deer was young, it was cute, and there was some bubble in his heart, something he'd not washed away, something he'd not been attentive to, some infection he'd not put Neosporin on. He'd not gone, he'd let it go, like in India. You get a little cut, Purkama, Purkama. And the next day it's all swollen up. It's India. So devotee is so attentive. He looks into his heart. Whatever material desires, he's very attentive to very carefully take it. Goodbye. So we need to hear this subject matter again and again. In Vedic culture, the spiritual master, he only had to say something three times. And the student was so, it was such a refined spiritual culture. People were so advanced. They just needed a little touch back home, back to Godhead. This little touch. So they'd hear three times. And not only would they realize, understand the subject, but they would realize it. But Kali Yuga, we have to hear again and again, and we still don't get the point. It says to maintain material attachments, even after understanding so many instructions on the matter. That's us. Even after ecstatic kirtans, nice classes, delicious prasadam, beautiful weddings, wonderful harinams, still those ugly material desires rear their heads in our hearts. Ah. Just like when Ram was fighting Ravana. The problem was Ravana had 10 heads and Ram would shoot one head off and it'd grow back. It's our problem. We have to hear again and again because our intelligence is contaminated. We were using our intelligence to figure out ways to enjoy the material world, not atato brahma janasya. The intelligence is meant for understanding our deeper spiritual nature, for understanding God, and for understanding our intimate, loving relationship with God. We abused our intelligence. We hear a lot about abuse, child abuse, this abuse, that abuse, abuse of women, abuse of the body. Here's the abuse of the intelligence. To use the intelligence to try to figure out how to enjoy. So by the time you come to Krishna consciousness, oh my gosh, it's like a dirty sponge, the intelligence. It's there, but it's dirty. So cheto, dharpanam, marjanam, how do you cleanse it? Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama. And the next time you hear some spiritual point from your guru, aha, now I understand. The point is not if the guru is qualified, the point is the disciple qualified. Two things are required, a potent man and a fertile woman, then you'll have conception. If one is not either of that, then no baby will come. So our intelligence is so polluted. Millions of years, how to enjoy separately from. I've got a good plan. I've got an idea. No, it didn't work. And then you somehow or other you stumble into Krishna consciousness, and then you've got this sponge, which is just like you wash the. Go out and wash the street with a sponge. What's it look like? Ugh. What good is it? You have to cleanse it. You have to cleanse. So this is our problem. Tatashchana dinam dharma satyam shocham samadhaya kalena balinarajan nansat yayur balim shmiti. Then, O King, religion, truthfulness, cleanliness, mercy, austerity, duration of life, bhala, physical strength, and memory will diminish day by day by the all-powerful influence of Kali. That's the unseen force that's happening to you every day. It's like people are afraid of, you know, the environment's so polluted, they're going to, you know, I heard in New York, if you live in New York, then because of the offices and so forth, not being a smoker, you still have a chance of getting cancer because so many people around you are smoking. So now they've banned smoking in public places. Even if you weren't a smoker, you came down with cancer because so many people were smoking around you. So they banned it. Or radiation. When we were in Kyiv, the first time we went to Kyiv, I was nervous because of that Chernobyl, is that what it's called? Chernobyl? That nuclear plant exploded and there was so much radiation. And even today, when you go to Ukraine, they have signs in the town, what is the radiation level? Like in L.A., they have signs, what is the smog level? So don't come into L.A. because, you know, L.A. is in a valley and there's so much smog sitting in the valley. Because the So sometimes the smog level is so high, they don't send the kids to school. Can you believe it? The smog is so bad, it's dangerous for kids to go outside, stay in the house. So in Ukraine, sometimes the radiation is so high, well, you can't do anything. Inside or outside, you get polluted. So people are thinking, oh, the radiation, what do I do? Well, look, there's something more dangerous than even the radiation. It's the evil effects of Kali Yuga. That day by day, the influence of Kali Yuga. Cleanliness, truthfulness, no matter what you do, you can't wear some, you know, protective blanket. You can't hide in a bunker under your house. You can't, there's nothing you can do. Kali Yuga is advancing day by day. Therefore, when one devotee said to Prabhupada, I want to come back life after life and distribute your books. Prabhupada said, that's a nice sentiment, but it's not a very good idea. You should try to go back, because it's going to get harder. You think it's hard now? We're struggling 2 years, 3 years, 5 years into Krishna consciousness. Prahlad was already Krishna conscious by the time he was 5. I'm over 50 and I'm still not Krishna conscious. There's a chance we have to come back. No, I don't want to come back. It's going to be harder next time. Every time you take birth in Kali Yuga, it's going to be harder and harder and harder and harder. Until one day, at the end of Kali Yuga, no one's a devotee. There's no devotees at the end of Kali Yuga. So what does Krishna do? He comes as Kalki. What does he do? Off with your head. Off with their head. It'd make a great Steven Spielberg movie. Everyone would walk out of the studio, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Strike while the iron is hot. Make hay while the sun shines. Chant while you have a chance. Many times I've approached my godbrothers who are on the verge of death. Budimanta Prabhu, he was one of the first of us to go. Sridhar Swami, I took him to Mayapur. Bhakti Tirtha Maharaj, I went to see Bhakti Tirtha Maharaj not to give him some solace and comfort, but to hear from him. Because very often as you get closer to death, your Krishna consciousness is accelerated. We gave the example the other day. You're running the mile, but the last lap you put everything into it. So old age is like that. You start pushing on the pedal. So I asked Maharaj some instructions. He said, chant, chant, chant. He said, I lament that I did not chant enough. Now here's a devotee who had such an influence on society. His kirtan, not just meaning just chanting, but his writings, his example, his traveling, his preaching. He influenced kings and queens and presidents, prime ministers, so many radio stations, so many TV programs. We did a TV program together. I was supposed to speak on the Hare Krishna festival coming up, and he was supposed to speak on the solutions to all political problems. But they got the names mixed up. So I was the first to go on. So they said, so Swami, please give us the solution to all political problems. Harinama, Harinam. Maharaj was just laughing, because I could see him. He was laughing and laughing and laughing. And I tried to remember, what did I read in the Spiritual Warrior book? You know. But Maharaj, when he came on and spoke about the festivals, he was better than me. So we're fortunate that we have liberated souls who can tell us what the world really looks like. We should consider ourselves like this. Oh, you know. If you have glasses, you know, I can hardly see Aniruddha here. Oh, Gaurhari. So you should think that with your naked eye, what you're seeing, it's not the real thing. You need Guru. He's like the glasses. There's you and the object, but because of your conditioning, what can you see? But you put on the glasses, this is Guru's mercy, you can see everything as it is. One time a boy said to me, I don't need someone to come between me and God. I said, no, sir, it's not like that. I said, it's like looking into a telescope. You look at the moon, what can you see with the naked eye? But you look through a telescope, you can touch the moon. The moon's in the palm of your hand. I said, that's Guru. There's something between your eye and the moon. It's called a telescope, but it brings the moon into clear focus. So Guru, there's something between you and God. It's Guru, but he brings Krishna. Like Prabhupada said, here is Krishna. He said, take him. In Chicago. Remember, we're sitting there. We're all young boys and girls. Here is Krishna, take him. This is Guru. So that's how we have to see. We don't want to see the world through our naked eye. Because when you look at the world, Maya is so expert, you go and you look and it looks so nice, you see a forest. Oh, what a lovely place. The forest. There's pretty green trees, there's deer roaming, there's birds chirping, there's butterflies. Butterflies. Do you have nice butterflies here in Australia? It's a desert. It's peaceful, it's quiet. But what's actually happening in the forest? Did you ever live in a forest? It's a bitter and constant struggle for survival. Hastani sahastanam apadhani chatushpadam falguni tatamahatam jivo jivasa jivanam. What a verse. Jivo jivasa jivanam. One living entity is food for another. Those who are devoid of hands are prey for those who have hands. Those who are devoid of legs are prey for the four-legged. The weak are the sustenance of the strong, and the general rule holds that one living being is food for another. Even you. Who eats you? Is there some big living entity who goes around and eats human beings? No, they're tiny. Bacteria, viruses, cancer. Even the trees, the beautiful trees, are engaged in a bitter struggle in the forest to get water. It looks very nice, but all the roots are going, and the roots are fighting each other for territory to get water from the ground. Prabhupada summed it up. Elegance is truth spoken concisely. Struggle for existence, the human race. Bas. The only hope, your divine grace. So we don't trust the eye. A saintly person sees through his ears, not through his eyes. If Guru says the snake is a rope, it's rope. If the rope is a snake, it's snake. If this beautiful scenery outside Melbourne, you drive through all the beautiful eucalyptus grows, and it's all Maya. It doesn't look like Maya, Gurudev. Maya. Maya. Because we have to understand, Maya Devi is very potent. We were discussing, and we've practically exhausted the subject matter. So we're searching for a little. We had weeks of classes about Maya, so we're like looking for new angles, like the crystal. You shine a light, and you get a blue here, you get a green here, you get a yellow. So we're looking for. So Maya, she's so. Who is she? She's Jogamaya. Mahamaya is an expansion of Yogamaya. How powerful is Yogamaya? We'll know from our discussions. Yogamaya bewilders even the liberated souls. The topmost liberated souls, the residents of Braj, Vrindavan, because Yogamaya causes them to forget that Krishna, Ishvara, Parama Krishna, Satchidananda Vigraha, Anadir, Adir Govinda, Sarvakarana Karana. Whoa. The Supreme Ishvara, the cause of all causes, Supreme Controller. They forget that. They think, he's my boy. He's the best boy. He's my friend, Mata. He killed one big demon today, Agasur. No, yes, he's my friend, very strong friend, little stronger than me. Sometimes I beat him up. He's my lover. He's best of all lovers, Shamsundar. They're fooled by the yoga. Of course, it's not a type of bewilderment which causes one to become degraded. It's quite wonderful. Facilitates the intimacy of the Leelas, because in the official kingdom of God, Vaikuntha, Narayan is master and everyone is his servant. That's nice, but the relationship of mother and child is deeper, friend is deeper, lover is deeper. So Krishna, he allows this all to happen so we can go into the deeper ecstatic rasas, which no other sampradaya can explain. So who? That Maya, she expands herself into the material world as Mahamaya. So what is our fate? Who are we? We're her servants, practically. You know, we bow down. Bow down, mister. We bow down to Maya. Even demigods are fooled by her ingenious schemes. Muyanti yat suraya tejuvade midham yata vinimayo yata tri sarago. By him, even the great sages and devatas are placed into illusion, as one is bewildered by the illusory representations of water seen in fire or land seen on water. You can see land on water. In the reflection of the sun, it looks like, oh, there's island. There's no island. When you're in the desert, the sunshine is shining off the sand, it looks like water. There's no water. You chase it, it's a mirage, you die. You die chasing something that never existed. And that's life. The ephemeral pleasure of sense gratification does not exist. But we run after it with full faith. And we're so disappointed at the end. We're so disappointed. To show the power of Maya, Prabhupada told the story of Duryodhana. One time Duryodhana, he went to visit the imperial palace of the Pandavas, which had been constructed by Maya Dhavana. And you know, Duryodhana is very Kattriya, mustache nicely waxed, and his nice clothes and sword nicely shined, and just very powerful, handsome, famous man going to speak to the Pandavas in their imperial palace. But when he entered that palace created by Maya Dhavana, he was walking towards the chamber of the Yudhishthira, and he saw a little pond right in the middle of the courtyard. There's a pond. There's no way to go around it. So he lifted up his. It was quite deep, so he had to lift up his coat and tails and walk through it. And he showed his underwears, but actually there was no water there. It was an illusion created by Maya Dhavana. It was a crystal. It was just crystal, and the sun reflecting on the crystal, but it looked like water. So he's walking across like this, and all the ladies of the palace are up watching, and they're laughing and laughing. He was so embarrassed. Then he walked a little further. There was another pond there. So he said, I'm not going to be fooled again. So this time he didn't lift up to get wet. He didn't lift. He walked right into the water. Then he entered into the conference room, and it looked like the door wasn't open. It was a crystal door, so he just tried to walk through and bumped his head and fell on the ground. He had a big bump, and now the ladies are really laughing. So then he's so embarrassed, he walks inside, he's going to walk back out, and the same door, he said, I'm not going to be fooled, I'm not going to bump into this door again. And he attempted to open it, but there was no door, and he tumbled outside. He left very embarrassed. This is Maya Dhavana. Maya is so tricky. And we laugh, but we said yesterday we're only laughing at ourselves. Because we're also under the influence of this illusory energy. He who laughs first laughs last. We have to be very humble in Krishna consciousness. We're also under illusion. What is our illusion? Aham mameti. You watch as devotees walk down the street. In Melbourne, there's lots of mirrors and store reflections. I was watching the Matajis. And they're crowd. Then I was watching the Brahmacharis. Then I looked at myself. As Swami. Oh, Swami. It's so hard. No, I know I'm not this body. If you knew you were not this body, you would not entertain even one thought of sense gratification. To entertain even the slightest thought of enjoying this world means that you still think you're the body. We have to go back to Bhakti Shastri. What is the first class? The first day? Aham Brahmasmi. I am not the body, I'm the soul. Again and again and again and again, all the way up to the 10th canto, we have to hear it, and beyond. Also in 11th, also in 12th canto. At the very end of Gita, Krishna says to Arjuna, now I've spoken this knowledge, so you do what you want. If you act according to the false ego, you're lost. So the race is not over till it's over. We should be like Bhivamangal Thakur. Yad Bhadi Mama Chitta Krishna Patharavinda Navanavarasa Dhaman Ujjate Rantum Ashit. This is another verse you should have on your kurta pocket. Since my mind has been engaged in the transcendental loving service of Krishna, realizing ever new pleasure in Him, whenever I think of sex pleasure, I spit at the thought and my lips curl. I don't know how that means. Curl and distaste. Like, they pucker up, right? Oh, yuck. To quote the Gurukul kids, yuck. This should be our reaction when anything that's involved profit, adoration, and distinction. This is sex life, gross and subtle. It's lust only, Arjuna, which is the all-devouring sinful. So when anything connected to material life, my enjoyment, Prabhupada said, lust means for me, and love means for Krishna. So if it's anything to do with me, our lips pucker up, and we spite, as Prabhupada said, we spite at the thought. This is Bengali. If it's something for Krishna, fine and dandy. Like Jesus said, either for me or you're against me. So unless we become repulsed at a thought that comes to our mind, material thought, then we are still under the illusion that we're the bodies. We're like Duryodhana, we're embarrassing ourselves. Not easy, though, is it? Therefore, I remember the very first lecture I heard of Srila Prabhupada. Prabhupada, it was the very first time I saw Srila Prabhupada. He came to Detroit in 1970 or 71. And he came out of the airplane and on the tamarack and then up the stairs and then down that little thing. And then Prabhupada came and we were 400 devotees. Jai Prabhupada, Jai Prabhupada. Dancing and twirling. Everyone was crying. All the men were crying. Prabhupada had that ability to draw forth that bhakti from the heart, even in the beginning stages. And he sat down, he gave a lecture, like 45 minutes. But just like if I asked you now to stand up and repeat something I said in my lecture, do you feel comfortable doing that? Because your attention span, you know, you're in and out, I can see the faces. You're sometimes thinking of something, sometimes catching a little bit of the lecture. This is our, when it came time for Prabhupada's initiation, they asked Bhakti Siddhanta, will you initiate him? Yes, he hears well. And one who hears well can speak well. So, Prabhupada sat down, he gave a lecture, I wasn't hearing well, but I remember one thing. Actually, one time my godbrother, Bhakti Bringagavinda Maharaj, he said, you know, the first time I saw Prabhupada was when he was came to the Detroit airport in 1971. I said, I was there too. He said, really, do you remember his lecture? I said, yeah. What I remember about the lecture is that towards the end, Prabhupada leaned over and he said, please believe me when I say you are not this body. And Govinda Maharaj said, yeah, that's the only line I remember too. And then a few months later, I met Pagosh, one of my godbrothers. I said, when did you first meet Prabhupada? He said, in Detroit, 71. And you know what? Prabhupada said the most amazing thing. Please believe me when I say. So at least remember that. But not easy to overcome that trick of the witch. It's just a trick of the witch. She pulled the on and off switch. Remember that song? Just a trick of the witch. She pulls the on and off switch. One singer who became a devotee for a few days in England. She was top of the pops. She became a devotee. She wrote a song, just a trick of the witch. Fix the on and off. And then she, Maya, flicked the off switch for her and she was back out. I don't know where she is now. Once you overcome that, then you've got another obstacle. Prabhupada said, Maya has two tricks in the bag. Plenty of them, but two big tricks. One is I'm the body, and the other is I am God. I am God. Two ends of the spectrum. A great challenge. I am body, I am God. I am body, I am... Six words. The whole challenge of Krishna consciousness. Overcome these six words. I am body, I am God. One time Prabhupada told the story of the yogi who's meditating. He becomes very advanced, and because the yogis, they're trying to see the Paramatma. The jnanis are trying to see Brahman. Devotees want to serve Krishna. So yogis, he sees one day the super soul in the heart. Paramatma, standing on the lotus flower, conch, flower, wheel, disc. Bluish, black like the monsoon cloud, lotus eyes to the ears, red lips, teeth set like rows of pearls, beautiful. And he thinks, there I am. He misunderstands. He's having the darshan of God, and he thinks, Prabhupada said, he thinks, that I am. Tatvamasmi. I am that super soul in the heart. Very danger, we say in Hindi. Very danger. What hope do we have? If Indra gets confused, if Brahma makes a couple of big mistakes, Vayu, Chandra, what about us aspiring devotees living in the Brahmachari, Brahmachrini ashram in Melbourne? It's very rare that one makes it. It's true. It's very rare. Dhammacari madhye bahuta karma nishta koti karma nishna madhye eka jnani shastra. Among the followers of Vedic knowledge, most are following the process of fruitive activity, distinguishing what is good and bad. Out of many such sincere fruitive actors, there may be one who is actually wise. Manushanam sahasresu kaschid yathate shudaye. Out of millions and millions of men, perhaps one is interested in the science of the soul. Out of those, hardly one understands me in truth. Then Kaviraj Goswami says, koti jnani madhye haya eka jhana mukta. Koti mukta madhye dulaba eka krishna bhakta. Out of many millions of such wise men, there are few of them, you kind of pull them all together from all over the universe, one may actually become a jivan mukta, a liberated soul. And out of many millions of such liberated person, a pure devotee of Krishna is very hard to find. Isn't that a nice verse? Koti jnani madhye haya eka jnana bhakta mukta, koti mukta madhye durlaba ek Krishna bhakta. What did Jesus say? Many are called, but few are chosen. Where will you be? So how to do it? How to be one of those, many are called, but how to be one of the few is chosen? Who would like to be called by Krishna? Raise your hand. Who would like to be chosen by Krishna? But only a few. So who's going to make it? Well, look at your big brother. How did he make it? Look at the kings. Those materialistic kings who were interested in fighting and war and profit and adoration, distinctions and sex and this and money. They made it. They're intimately associating with Krishna. They see the illusion of the world. They're hankering for seva to Krishna. So, hey, how did you guys make it? Oh, they're telling you. Hey, I was entangled, but I made it. So how did they make it? What did they say here in the purport, if you're listening very carefully, or in the verse? What do they say? Or what does Prabhupada say in the purport? By personal association of Lord Krishna, the fortunate kings have now realized the higher spiritual reality beyond the phantasmagory of material creation. Hey, I just have to have the personal association of Krishna, just like the kings. Well, Prabhus, you're 500 years late. You're 5,000 years late. You're millions of years late. Mahaprabhu was here 500 years ago. Krishna was here 5,000 years ago. Ramchandra was here millions. We missed the boat. And Prabhupada said, these pure devotees, representatives of the Lord, they're very kind. They take the boat of transcendental knowledge across the bhavam buddhir, the ocean of material existence. But they're very kind. Although they took the boat over the ocean, the boat is still on the other side. The boat of knowledge. So we miss the boat in one sense, you could say. We miss the boat. We miss Krishna's personal association. It's rare to get the Lord. He comes once in a day of Brahma. Oh, that's good. He's going to be here tomorrow. No. The calculation of time by Gita is not in our puny little time of human beings, but the more important time of the universe calculated by the demigods. Krishna comes millions and millions. Are you going to wait? Oh. To wait a long time. Just like Lota Baba. You know Lota Baba? Krishna knew that Akura was coming to Vrindavan. Rajeshwari, this is a good story. He knew, Lota Baba knew that Krishna was coming to Vrindavan. Akura was coming to Vrindavan to take him to Mathura to fight with Kamsa. So Krishna was feeling very sad. Oh, I have to leave the Brajbasis. Brajbasis are also feeling sad. Krishna has to go Krishna also loves his devotees. Love is a two-way street. Love is reciprocal. There's different types of vipralamba bhav, different types of separation. One is the anticipation of separation. Even the separation hasn't taken place, just thinking, I'm going to be separated from my lover, you go into deep mode of vipralamba bhav. Sometimes Radharani, she's like that. Krishna's right next to her, and she's thinking, what if someday I'm separated from Shyamasundara? And she just falls apart. So the word spread, Akura is coming to Vrindavan to take Krishna and Balaram to Mathura. Gopis crying their hearts out. So Krishna went around to say goodbye to everybody. He said, goodbye, cowherd boys, goodbye, gopis. Bye, Nanda, Baba, Mata. Goodbye. Oh, that was a sorrowful day in Vrindavan. Like they have in Ireland, Black Sunday, or England, Black Sunday. Some terrible thing happened. What is Black Sunday in Braj? When Krishna leaves. O Govinda, feeling your separation, I'm considering a moment to be like 12 years or more. Tears are flowing from my... I'm feeling all vacant in the world. Krishna... The more you're attached to something, the more you feel its absence when you lose it. Who's the most attached? Gopis. They're most attached to Krishna. When he leaves Vrindavan, those poor girls, they cry their hearts out for days, for weeks, for months, for years. We don't even know. But it's some type of ecstasy. One day we'll see. So Krishna was going around and he came to see some cowherd boys who were staying at Govardhan Hill. And he said to one boy, his name was Lota Baba, Krishna said, Lota Ji, don't cry. My friend, don't cry. Like when my dad used to go on vacation, not vacation. When my father used to, I think Harinam is canceled till this evening. But the thunder is good because it keeps you awake. My father used to go on these regular business trips. Oh, I just couldn't sleep the night before he left. I'd cry all night. He'd come and sit with me, my son, it's okay. And when my father died, I was 17. That was the heartbreak of my life, my youth. Began me on the spiritual path, but anyway, it's something we won't discuss. So, and then Prabhupada left. These are affairs of the heart. Being deep. So, Krishna said to Lota Baba, I'm going, but I'll be back tomorrow. Lota Baba said, Kanai, I have a feeling you're going to be gone a little longer. Krishna said, no, if not tomorrow, I'll be back the day after tomorrow. Lota Baba said, Krishna, I've heard the rumors. You're going to Mathura to fight Kamsa. You're going to be gone a lot longer than that. So Lota Baba sat down. He said, I'm not going to move until you come back. So did Krishna ever come back? No. So if you go to Vrindavan, there's one temple at the end of Govardhan Hill. You go around that, the tail of the peacock. There's Narsingha Temple. There's Upsara Kund. There's different kunds. Right on that road there, there's Lota Baba. He's sitting. Right? Lota means waiting. So he's waiting Baba. You little boy, there's a temple there of Lota Baba with this little... He's still looking towards Mathura, waiting. Because Krishna didn't come back. 5,000 years he's still waiting. So if you want to wait to have the personal association of the Lord, like the kings had, oh, you have to wait a long time. So, but there's a way you can get around it. For every problem, there's a solution in Krishna consciousness. What's the alternative? Sadhu sangha, sadhu sangha, sarva shastu koi. Lava matra, sadhu sangha, sarva siddhi hoi. Devotees, by the Lord's arrangement, are his representatives. Wherever they go, they carry the Supreme Personality of Godhead in their hearts. What's in the heart of your hearts? Not those nasty material desires. Go deeper. What's in the heart of... Why are you here? Why not out there? Because you know in your heart of hearts you want to serve Radhe Shyam. That's your heart of hearts. So Krishna's in the devotee's heart. Because the devotee's always cleansing his heart, Krishna becomes more and more manifest. Like if you clean the glasses, oh, it's not Aniruddha, it's Gaurhari. The dirty glasses you still can't see. So wherever the devotees go, that place becomes a place of pilgrimage. So nice, the Vaishnavas. They're traveling. They're carrying with them the mood of Braj, the mood of Vrindavan, the mood of Mayapur, the mood of Jagannath Puri. They don't live in this world. They're not part of, like Jesus said, you can be in this world but not of this world. That's Prabhupada. Wherever he went, it was just like Vaikuntha. It was just like Golok. We didn't think that we were in the material world. We didn't think we were in an airplane. We thought we were just traveling with Prabhupada back home, back to Godhead in some flower airplane from Vaikuntha. Even the people around who came into Prabhupada's association, they would comment. One time that Prabhupada was walking across the street in London and the policeman grabbed Shyamasundara and said, "Look, your teacher's glowing like the sun." Wherever they go, they give that mercy. One time they put some puffed rice, Sri Takirti put puffed rice on a silver plate for Prabhupada after the plane had taken off, and the stewardess were coming around and asking what they wanted for the menu for the day, for the plane ride. "Do you want chicken?" Or and they came up to Prabhupada, and the lady saw it, Prabhupada was already eating. The stewardess, you know what she did? She reached in to the puffed rice and took some and threw it in her mouth. Sri Takirti told me. Prabhupada went, "Hare Krishna." How fortunate was that woman? She got plate from the prasad of the purity devotee. The demigods are confirming how nectar this is. We might as well just stay here in the temple all day and have Harikata because it's too wet to do anything else. It's like we were in Jagannath Puri, Gaurhari, myself, we were walking on the back streets, wandering, as Prabhupada said, just wander in Vrindavan, he says. We were wandering in Puri. We're walking down the area where the brahmanas live, and there was one old, old woman, very old. She was sitting on the veranda on a very nice plate with great reverence, eating some Jagannath prasad. So everyone can get this prasad because they offer 52 pots a day to the deities. But this looked like something unique, so I took a photo, and her son came out. Because she was so old, he was also elderly. And he appreciated we were respecting his mother, so he went over and he took some prasad off her plate, and he came and he put it in my hand, in Gaurhari's hand. And I thought, well, fine enough, I'm getting the prasad of a Vaishnavi in Puri. He said, "This is the prasad from Lord Jagannath's golden plate." They offer the pots, but they also have pure 22-carat golden plate where the finest of all cooks cook the finest of all prasad, and the finest of all the gods eats that prasad. And that's reserved only for the family of the topmost priest. We happened to be walking by his house that day. And he was kind. He was Vaishnava. Vaishnavas are an ocean of mercy. He took some compassion, even though we are Western Vaishnavas. Right? Wasn't that prasadam? Still to this day, we're still reeling in the fine intoxication of that wonderful. This is Vaishnava. He carries Krishna consciousness heart wherever he goes. So if you can't find Krishna, find his devotee. And even better to find the devotee. Because the devotees are even more merciful than Krishna himself. Because one who has been saved from a hellish condition, he's more sensitive to those who are suffering. Like a poor man becomes rich, he's more inclined to give in charity than one who was born into a rich family and inherits the wealth. Statistics have shown. If somebody's born they're quite stingy in a wealthy family. But if you're poor, you're down and out, and you work your way up the ladder, you get money, then you have something in your heart for those who are, so you give in charity. So we have been delivered from material existence. My dear Lord, I'm drowning in the fathomless whirlpool of material existence, Rupa Goswami says in Padyavali. Please, just this one time, extend your hand to save me. So it's better to... One who says he's my devotee is not my devotee. One who says he's my devotee, he's my devotee. Who are we to approach Krishna? You cannot go up to Krishna directly. You don't know anything what pleases Krishna. It would be a very embarrassing, even offensive thing to approach the Lord directly. I want to render service to you. Here's a pair of really nice sneakers that I wore for 5 years. I really like them. I'm going to give them to you. Hello. Some nice silver sandals you can give. We don't know. Like one time Prabhupada cooked kichoris, and then he offered them himself and he distributed them to his disciples. And when Tamal Krishna Maharaj ate one of those kichoris, he said, Prabhupada, I've never eaten a kichori like this in my life. Prabhupada said, oh, that's because this is Mother Yashoda's recipe. Will you find Mother Yashoda's recipe in Kurma's cookbook? With all due respect. Will you find that recipe in Jamuna's cookbook? It was in Prabhupada's cookbook. How did he know? Because. Where is he coming from and who is he? One time he said to us, if I told you who I was in the spiritual sky, you would faint. One time he was sick and he got a little bit better. He got his complexion back. And he told Bhavananda, he said, Bhavananda said, Prabhupada, you look healthier, you're looking effulgent again. Prabhupada said, yes, this golden red color, this is my color in the spiritual sky. Oh. Transcendental Freudian slip. Some intimate moment of revelation in the spiritual sky. This type of devotee we have to meet. O Paramahansa of the Nectar Lake, did you your own true love forsake, leaving his fresh and fragrant lotus breast to come into this world of birth and death? Is this a helping hand you lend while in this world of matter you transcend? I am perplexed. Please let it be known. Have you come to take us home? Jai Prabhupada Jaya. We used to sing that on Harinam. O Paramahansa of the Nectar Lake, did you your own true love forsake, leaving his fresh and fragrant lotus breast to come into this world of birth and death? Is this a helping hand you lend while in this world of matter you transcend? I am perplexed. Please let it be known. Have you come to take me home? These souls are more merciful than Krishna. They'll come back again and again. Guru will come back for the disciple again and again and again and again until that. When Krishna comes once in a day of Brahma. Oh, okay. I thought I was supposed to stop. I just have a little bit more. So this is recommended throughout Vedic scriptures, Upanishads, Puranas, Itihashas, even Chanaka Pandit. Tiyaja Dujana Samsargam Bhaja Shadhu Samagamam Kuru Punya Mohoratram Shmaranityam Anityatam. This is another nice verse which you should have in your pocket, Dinadayal. Give up the association of evil persons and partake of the association of sadhus. Perform pious deeds day and night and always remember the flickering nature of this world. Chanaka Pandit. Bhaja sadhu samagamam. Always associate with devotees. Prabhupada said, one who thinks he can be Krishna conscious, living outside the association of devotees, is living in hallucination. But we've been doing it for how long? Guhari, how long have you been a devotee? How many years? Your whole life, actually. You're 23. Chandra, how many years? 14? Huh?
6 months.
Oh, you're a baby. Bacha. He's a little bacha. You have to sit with the babies. Welcome. May you never leave. Stay with us forever. It looks like the results are slow to come. Is that because the process itself is defective? No. It's because the impurities are very deep. Like someone cooks milk and they burn the milk. Rajeshwari, isn't it hard to get that burnt milk off the bottom? If you cook tea, fire water, no problem. But if you cook milk and you burn it. One time Prabhupada said, if I showed you all your material attachments, you'd faint. Like if you go to the, you're the only one to scrub the pots after the feast and they're all burned. You could look into your heart, oh my God, no hope, me. No, but if you have faith in the holy name, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Rama. Scrub-a-dub-dub, three men in a tub. Still, even though there's a lot of work to be done, there's enough purification. We do get relief sometimes, like in kirtan. Oh, Lord, thank you for kirtan. Imagine if there was no kirtan. Oh, kirtan is our life and soul, because then there's no problem. Nip problem. Da? In kirtan, nip problem. Choo-choo. Nothing. That's the mercy of Mamchayo Vibicharena Bhakti Yogena Sevate Sagunan Samatityaitan Brahma Bhuya Kalpate. Those who engage in the process of Krishna consciousness, give their whole hearts, who don't deviate even for a moment, transcend the modes of nature and come to the level of Brahman or Krishna consciousness. That's kirtan. In kirtan, you're fully immersed and there's no time, just nectar. Unless you're wallflower. Wallflower means you stand back in. You're stuck against it. Tukaram says, if you're lying down and chanting, Lord will come and sit with you. If you're sitting and chanting, Lord will come and stand next to you. If you're standing and chanting, Lord will come and dance with you. And if you're dancing and chanting, Lord will embrace you in transcendental, loving ecstasy. Tukaram Prabhu ki, a great saint. Oh, nice. If you're dancing and singing, Lord will embrace you in transcendental ecstasy. So we get those little glimpses from time to time. But we should understand, the more we surrender, there's more of that ahead. It's a little hard to surrender because material life, when you surrender to someone, you got exploited. So we kind of feel like, whoa, wait a minute. Bhakti Sanasaraswati said, material life means you put your head on my lap and I cut your throat. Well, amazing ringtones down here. But Krishna consciousness means you, faith, Prabhupada said, means to put your trust in something sublime. Hari Guru Vaishnava. You put your faith, you surrender, and the glimpse will turn into a full show of... We're only getting peak previews now. But the whole thing will be revealed by surrender. So we should not hesitate to surrender. We're only cheating ourselves if we don't surrender. We have to give Atman everything. Just Let go and see what happens. Prabhupada told Vishnujan Maharaj, one of the first things I heard as a devotee. Vishnujan was like my first guru. He still is. I told my wife, I want to be just like him. She said, yes, you should. She didn't know what a sannyasi was. What was the story I wanted to tell? I forget now. Huh? It slipped my mind. Oh yes, Prabhupada told him. Thank Balabhaji, thank you. Prabhupada told him, for so many lifetimes, you've been Brahmanda Brahmati Konya Bhagavan Jeev Guru Krishna Prasad Bhai Bhaktila. You've been traveling through different universes, you've been traveling through different species of life, different bodies. You've done everything but give one life to Krishna. Just, you've had so many lives, you've been doing so, you know, you've tried this. Why not just one life, give it to Krishna? Krishna, 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 hey! Why hold on? Why not just experiment? Just give everything to Krishna. From the very beginning, 16 rounds. Why not try? Why not try just these regulative principles? Why not try study all the shastras? Why not try serving it? All these things which you can incorporate in it. Any student can do it. A parent can do it. A businessman can do it. Prabhupada made Krishna consciousness such a way everyone can do. He told Vishnujali, why not just, why, what do we gain from holding on to even the smallest attachment? Because Krishna says, as you surrender to me, I reward you accordingly. Just like Draupadi. I'll conclude. I know you're getting hungry. One very nice story of Draupadi. It was just after her painful experience. She was put up as barter in the gambling match, the Pandavas, and the Pandavas lost. And who got Draupadi? Kauravas. And she was humiliated. They attempted to strip her naked in a public assembly. We don't even like to think of this pastime. During that ordeal, Draupadi was brought in, and the strongest man in the assembly was Dushushan. Infamous Dushushan. He came in, and what did he do? He grabbed her sari and began pulling on it to disrobe her. In Vedic culture, a woman is never seen naked. Only one person can see her naked, her husband. As all these powerful Kshatriyas and soldiers and men there would be so humiliating. She cried and cried until almost all her clothes were gone. Finally, at the last minute, she raised her arms in the air. And Krishna appeared and one long sari. Do you see this? I saw one painting depicting the whole room was sari. Dushyant was like... So after this happened, Draupadi went to visit Krishna. She said, Lord, I have a question. With tears in her eyes, she said, Krishna, why did it take you so long to save me? I was there in the assembly, Dushushan, he was trying to make me naked. Why did it take so long for you to save me? You could have come in the very beginning. So Krishna said, Draupadi, listen very carefully. At first, you called, oh Krishna, but then you looked at Arjuna, and you looked at Bhim, and you said, Arjuna, Bhim, can't you see what is happening to your wife? Because she was Draupadi. She was married to the five Pandavas. They are violating my chastity before your very eyes. Do something. So Krishna said, I thought at that time I wasn't really needed. Why should I come? You didn't call for me. But then Draupadi said, Yes, but after that you could have come. Krishna said, yes, but you remember, after that, you appealed to Drona, the teacher of the Kauravas and the Pandavas. You said, Drona, you are Brahmana. You are a protector of Dharma. Look what these men, unscrupulous men, are doing, trying to make me naked in the assembly. Are you going to tolerate that? But they didn't do anything, these devotees. It was Leela, it was all arrangement of the Lord. They couldn't move. And Krishna said, you were calling for me, you were calling Drona. So I thought, well, I'm not needed. By this time, Draupadi understood what was Krishna was trying to say, and she was speechless. But Krishna continued, Draupadi, after that you took shelter of Bhishma, the powerful warrior and respected grandfather. He wouldn't help, so you went to the blind Dhritarashtra and you went to every king in the assembly. And finally, you tried to protect yourself by holding your sari with your two hands. And I thought, this Draupadi thinks she's very strong. She thinks that she can fight Dushushan. And actually a woman who's very chaste, she's very powerful. Janaka Pandit said, the beauty of a bird is its sweet notes, the beauty of a sage, his ability to forgive, the beauty of an ugly man may be his scholarship, the real beauty of a woman is her shyness and her chastity, like Savitri. Yama, the Lord of Death, had to give her husband back because she was so chaste. But here's Draupadi. Krishna said, I thought that, you know, she thinks she's very strong. She thinks she can fight Dusha. So what should I do? Then you threw up one of your hands to call me. I thought she's calling me, but she's still holding on to her sari, believing in her own strength. Only when you raised both of your hands and called to me, Hey Krishna! Hey Govinda! You were fully surrendered, Atmanivedanam, then I came. Why? Because I knew you wanted me and only me. Gantara Shimad Bhagavatam ki Srila Prabhupada ki Sri Sri Bhada Balabji ki Jagannatha Bhada Baladeva ki Sri Sri Gornitai ki Go Premanande. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna. Shishi Bhagavat Prasadam Ki. Yeah.